talking with Tanner Beamer, of course, National Cattlemen Beef Association, the D.C. office. And Tanner, one of your areas of responsibility is in this cattle markets area, just to kind of put it simply in plain English, I guess. Interesting meeting yesterday, and a very, very, I guess you, I think everybody came out of that meeting feeling that it was a pretty productive meeting of trying to establish some fresh talking points for the team on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think the headline item, of course, was the conversation about what role the government should play in making sure that there is sufficient levels of negotiated trade. And we had a very robust dialogue. A lot of producers from a lot of different parts of the country spoke in favor and in opposition of cash mandates. And that is that was probably what headlined the discussion and what got the most robust dialogue. And what ended up happening there is, of course, we said we are going to continue to oppose cash market mandates or any other legislative solution that will restrict a cattle producer's right to market their cattle in the way that works best for their individual business models. But I don't want that to detract from all of the good work that actually came about in later in the meeting. We had about 6 or 7, maybe even 8 additional resolutions that were dealing with issues like market transparency, with processing capacity, with confidentiality and livestock mandatory reporting. And a lot of those policies, if not every single one of them, you know, passed on a voice vote with no herd opposition. And I think that's a testament to the work that's been done by the Price Discovery Subgroup, by the Market Transparency Working Group, and by just our state affiliates talking to one another and trying to come to some common ground to find some solutions to move forward. They've given us pretty clear direction, and now it's up to us to go and implement it.
Of those various things, you know, you mentioned obviously the kind of the headliner of the mandate, the cash mandate trade. But within that, it seems that we've learned a lot because of that 75% plan, the triggers commission that had, what, 3/4 of data. How do we, I guess, maybe leverage that information into doing things better and perhaps advocating on Capitol Hill?
You know, I think that triggers framework, you know, it's important to know that we tripped 2 triggers, which required us to have this dialogue that we did yesterday, but we did see some remarkable improvement in negotiated trade volumes all across the country, but particularly in the Southern Plains. I think that's a testament to the fact that as an industry, if we decide that we want to do something for the betterment of that industry, that we can get it done, and we can get it done on our own. And, you know, we can talk about whether or not we were able to accomplish it in a timely enough manner, or if the progress that we made was sufficient to where we need to be. But I think that you're right. We learned a lot through that process. And I think that that's one of the reasons why when we talked about this in July of 2020, that meeting went for 6.5 hours, really good discussion. And yesterday, I think we wrapped up just on time with all the additional policies as well in just under 2 hours. And I think that's a testament to the fact that we have learned so much over the last year and a half.
You mentioned the additional things that were talked about beyond the mandatory cash reporting conversation. Of note in particular, you've got a couple of pieces of legislation out there that have moved halfway through the House, still waiting hopefully some action in the Senate, that seems to be a lot. Everybody is on board with the concept of the cattle contract library and the need for mandatory price reporting to be renewed with some modifications.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think... Excuse me. I think that we are continuing to see positive momentum around these legislative concepts that enjoy broad support throughout the entire industry. Contract library is a great example. Within 48 hours of that bill being introduced, it got marked up unanimously by voice vote of the House Ag Committee. Shortly thereafter, it passed the House of Representatives with only 14 out of 435 voting in opposition. And so I think we have some good momentum. And if we can have conversations about areas where there is agreement, where there is consensus, then we can move forward and make some really, really good advancements for our industry to try and right the ship, improve the marketing environment, start to bring some profitability back into the industry.
We've kicked the can down the road a lot on mandatory price reporting. Likely that's going to happen again with the next CR. But what needs to be? What are you hearing from the membership? What policy has been established within NCBA of changes that are needed to improve mandatory price reporting?
You know, it will take a more thorough examination of the policies that we adopted to know for sure, but on first glance, it appears that much of that can be accomplished through the legislative, or excuse me, through the regulatory process with minimal need for legislative change. Our position has always been and will continue to be, even if we would like to see some amendments, it is is don't let that program expire. It is the most critical market transparency tool that cattle producers have at their disposal today. And that will continue to be our position as we go to the February 18th deadline and whatever temporary extension it gets granted after that. Eventually, we will really want to see the certainty that comes with a full five-year reauthorization. But of course, it's a midterm election year. Members of Congress, rightly so, want to spend more time in their home districts than in Washington, D.C. So we'll see if we can get that done or if we're going to see some more extensions to get us through until that discussion is ready to be had.
Based on everything that happened yesterday, I know you're still obviously looking at all the fine print and all the resolutions that were considered and talked about. What, you know, how do we move forward? How do we get a positive, force or a wave going successfully through the legal side of things, the regulatory side of things, as well as Congress itself to get some things done, you know, that will help cattle producers?
Yeah, I think it's important that we focus on those areas where we can have some agreement, right? That Fisher-Grassley bill has a ton of good provisions in it that we're supportive of. Contract library, confidentiality fixes, delivery windows, carcass weight reporting. And I think that you have seen both from our meeting yesterday and from the Farm Bureau convention last month that we're still very squishy on mandates and we're still not sure that that is the right way to go for our industry. So let's focus on those things that we do have a lot more consensus on, and let's advance those and get those over the finish line so that we can start to see some of the fruits of that labor.
Seems that just on first examination, AFBF policy established in Atlanta and the policy here in Houston, very similar.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of that has been driven by just the proceedings in Washington, D.C. And a lot of people are asking themselves what the proper role of government needs to be in that equation. And like I said, we've got members individually and as affiliate organizations on different sides of this issue, which is why we're gonna focus more so on getting things over the finish line that do enjoy much broader support. And there is no shortage of ideas in that ballpark.
How helpful was it that the cattle market improves dramatically in the fourth quarter?
You know what? We are cautiously optimistic about where we're headed from here. You know, if you look at some of the fundamentals, Cattle Facts had a really good presentation earlier in the week. The fundamentals look really good. They look really strong. The key barrier to that, as it has been for the last 2 years, is trying to make sure that we can get 650,000 head of cattle processed through those plants every single week. We got to be looking at labor. We got to be looking at processing capacity in order to make sure that we can continue to capture on the strong consumer demand that is here in the United States as well as in our major export markets.